God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I don't know that I can add much new to the discussion about the assassination attempt against President Trump, other than some questions. So a lot of reasons to ask questions about this guy. This Mr. Ruth, I don't normally speak the name of would-be assassins, but in this case, I'm not even necessarily certain that he's done this for attention. There's so much to ask. First of all, this. Why did the New York Times decide to promote his work? Why? It's fair to call him a mercenary. While we're on the topic of whys, why has the CIA not done anything about an American citizen going back and forth between here and Ukraine, seeking to hire former Taliban fighters to fight in Ukraine and offering to launder their passports through Pakistan or Iran? Oh, on that topic, how did a retired construction worker know how to launder passports? That seems like intelligence service tradecraft to me. 74 arrests and he's not in prison. Huh. Why? What would keep a man with 74 arrests out of prison? Well, someone high up could do that. We can't have him in prison. He's important. I don't know the answers to these questions. It might be as simple as foolishness. Corruption. It could be as bad as he's an asset. There are reasons to believe he's an asset. I mean, we live in an era where President Trump, as a candidate, was a Russian asset, remember? All the intelligence officials said so. They signed a written statement to that effect. Same ones who said that the Hunter Biden laptop story was absolutely Russian propaganda. They signed statements to that effect. They lied to the FISA court to that effect, lying about where they got their opposition research. They got it from Hillary Clinton. Well, her team and a disgraced law firm. So I have questions. Going back and forth from the United States to Ukraine as a fair to call mercenary, that would put you, at the very least, on the State Department radar. It should put you on the CIA radar. Remember when they used cell phone triangulation data to track down a 72-year-old grandma who walked into the Capitol on January 6th, didn't break anything, stood behind the velvet ropes, took a selfie and prayed for 10 minutes and then left? This guy back and forth between here and Ukraine acting as a mercenary, you'd think that they might be tracking his cell phone data. They might be aware of, hey, that guy is right there at Trump's golf course. Well, maybe he used enough tradecraft to not take his cell phone. Or maybe he used enough tradecraft to use a burner. Or one of the devices that people in the true intelligence service tradecrafts use to become dark. I don't know. It could be as simple as incompetence. It could be that he's an asset. Certainly, the FBI will tell us the truth, right? Just like the CDC tells us the truth, right? The media has been very, very predictable. The Washington Post, Trump stoked suspicions about assassination attempt, raising fears of more violence. After an initial period of relative restraint, the former president's begun blaming the shooting on his opponents and amplifying conspiracy theories. Let me say this another way. Well, I mean, she was raped, but she was wearing a short skirt. horrible, embarrassingly bad, ungodly. It's President Trump's fault he was shot. Hey, you should shut up so you don't get shot again. You should tone things down. The Democrats and Mockingbird media who have called him literally Hitler, to a generation of kids who play a game, would you kill Hitler if you could, prior to him coming to power? A lot of questions. MSNBC's agitators echoed the Washington Post in blaming President Trump for being shot at again.
But do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric, toning down the violence, or would that be atypical of the former president?
Well, Alex, remember back to the assassination attempt on President Trump's life and how, you know, there was talk of a new tone. And then the Republican convention was, by Trumpian standards, muted. And it did seem like he was, you know, just trying to take it down a few notches. But then by the end of his convention speech, you know, we were kind of back to where we started.
Ryan Ruth went to Ukraine. He was interviewed, and we'll get to this interview, a portion of it, by Newsweek Romania. He was there trying to fight. He spoke into the camera, and you'll hear this, saying that all Ukrainians are good and proper and giving and charitable and nice, and all Russians aren't, effectively. This wasn't an issue of rhetoric. My theory is far different. This was an issue of Ukraine. President Trump has said he would end the Ukraine war. This shooter, alleged, was an acting mercenary on behalf of Ukraine. Certainly, they wouldn't have paid him to try to take out President Trump, right? They wouldn't have done that because that would be, you know, wrong. And the dictator of Ukraine, Zelensky, would never do anything that's, like, wrong. So many questions. NBC's Lester Holt agrees President Trump should stop talking so he doesn't get shot at again.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail itself. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio. This weekend, there were new bomb threats in that town.
So President Trump caused the bomb threats by accurately stating there are Haitian immigrants eating cats. You've seen the video of the Haitian immigrant eating the cat, right? Well, he's not eating it in the video. He's cooking it, to be precise, on a grill. And that's just up the street from Springfield. You've seen or heard the interviews of people who lived in Jamaica saying, yeah, it's a cultural thing in Haiti. They eat cats. And they use them in voodoo ceremonies. That's a cultural thing. Incidentally, that's not a racial thing. No one's saying black people eat cats. It's done in Haiti. Baseless claims, says Lester Holt. The bomb threat, of course, President Trump's fault. But the shooting is not anyone's fault, but President Trump's. See how that works? So the suspect is a Democrat. He was hiding in the bushes with an AK-47 and a scope, two backpacks and a GoPro. Question. Since he's back and forth between here and Ukraine, he is quoted in the media talking about this, trying to hire Taliban soldiers. I mean, here's the quote from the New York Times. Ryan Ruth, a former construction worker from Greensboro, North Carolina, is seeking recruits from among Afghan soldiers who fled the Taliban. Mr. Ruth, who spent several months in Ukraine last year, said he planned to move them, in some cases illegally, from Pakistan to Iran to Ukraine. He said dozens had expressed interest. We can probably purchase some passports through Pakistan, since it's such a corrupt country, he said in an interview from Washington. Oh, people who fought the Taliban. Yeah. He's going to limit himself to that. Mm-hmm. Why did the New York Times decide to promote his work? or platform him, as you might say. 2023, they wrote this article. How did he get in touch with the New York Times? Could it be that the CIA pitched a story about a guy who's helping? What with his 74 arrests and all? 74 arrests and no prison time? Who gets to do that? Well, an asset would get to do that. So many questions. I don't know the answer to these questions. They're fair questions to ask. When asked why Trump did not have Secret Service protection surrounding the golf course, officials said Trump is not the sitting president.
How was this able to happen? And for future reference, is there any up security in the golf course?
Well, you got to understand the golf course is surrounded by shrubbery. So when somebody gets into the shrubbery, they're pretty much out of sight. All right. And at this level that he is at right now, he's not the sitting president. If he was, we would have had this entire golf course around it.
He has been nearly killed once. This time he was shot at. In the prior occasion, we learned that Jill Biden had, what, 8 times the security that President Trump had? Praise God, at this time they shot into the bushes where this guy was hiding. Oh, speaking of that, since this guy should have been on the CIA's radar, his cell phone should have been being tracked. He should be on a extra security at the airport list, like Tulsi Gabbard. Remember, she's a domestic terrorist. Your federal government has Tulsi Gabbard, former congresswoman, a military vet. She's on an extra security checklist at the airports because she's a domestic terrorist, as you know. Allowing a guy like this to get a rifle near President Trump? That does not add up. None of it does. Former Senator Claire McCaskill, in a recent interview at MSNBC, said President Trump is more dangerous than Mussolini and Hitler.
A lot of people have tried to draw similarities between Mussolini and Hitler and the use of the terminology like vermin and the drive that those men had towards autocracy and dictatorship. The difference, though, I think makes Donald Trump even more dangerous, and that is he has no philosophy he believes in. He is not trying to expand the boundaries of the United States of America. He's not trying to overcome a neighboring country like Putin is in Ukraine. He is not going for some grandiose scheme of international dominance. All he wants is to look in the mirror and see a guy who's president.
So to President Trump, being murdered is worth being able to look in the mirror and say he's president. But wait, he was president. And he didn't do anything Hitler-like or Mussolini-like. Anything. But remember, it's President Trump's fault. He needs to calm the rhetoric. A non-voting member of Congress, Representative Jasmine Crockett, said just hours before the most recent assassination attempt against President Trump that he and MAGA in general are a threat to us all.
I talk about the fact that when we swore in finally in January, that we swore to defend against those that are coming against us, whether they are domestic or international. And right now, I feel like MAGA in general, they are threats to us domestically.
Wait, it's MAGA that's shooting at Kamala Harris? Praise God it's not, and may it never be. Speaking of her, you'll hear a funny, funny joke she made. In hindsight, it's not that funny. Well, at the time, it wasn't that funny, although she laughed her head off at herself. Then, shifting gears. We have to have a talk about the Pope. A very, very serious talk about the Pope. It's fair to say, and God forgive me for offending Catholics. It's not my intent. I came to Jesus through Catholics. My very best, my brother in Christ, who brought me to the Lord Jesus, is a Catholic man. We gotta have a talk about the Pope. It's fair to say that he effectively called the Lord Jesus a liar. God help him. Let's have that discussion. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. We'll be right back. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. When I came to the Lord Jesus, it was really through living in the home of a great family, the father of which and the leader of that family is a fantastic professional in radio, long since retired. Doesn't use his professional name anymore, but did so much in radio. Worked with Dick Clark. Remember Dick Clark? A great radio host, became a great TV host to create a network called BPME, which went on to be one of the most famous and well thought of satellite radio networks in the world. He works at the Gavin Report, which is a radio publication. He worked at Radio and Records, was the publisher there. Had such a storied career. And I got to live in his home and see what it looked like to see a functional Christian home. Man and woman joined in marriage, still married after what? Gosh, don't embarrass him, Todd. 50 years, at least. 34 grandkids. I got to see them take communion and have them explain to me why I couldn't yet take it. Not been baptized. When I did get baptized, I had the opportunity to take communion with them. It was a thing of beauty. I was baptized as a Lutheran, and my friend Matthew said, well, you're not there yet. You're getting there, but at least you can take communion with me. And I would go to St. James Cathedral in Seattle with him. And I remember going there for an Easter service once and weeping. So beautifully done. We got an incredible tour of that church once. We got to go up into the infrastructure of the church where the ceilings hang down and the bells and all the beautiful, beautiful artwork. We got to walk around up there. They were doing construction. Matthew is a lay leader there. What a phenomenal time. I'm so thankful to that family for bringing me to the Lord Jesus. Never would have got there without them and their beautiful, beautiful Christian faith. And they happen to be Catholic. I preface this segment carefully because I want everybody to understand I am not here to critique the Catholic faith. I'm not here to question it at all. I'm here to question the Pope. What I'm going to play for you must be disturbing to anybody who takes the Lord Jesus at his word. And I think the proper response is to pray for the Pope. The Lord Jesus taught us in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14, he was precise. The Lord speaking to his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And by the way, by extension, us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you? Would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. Thomas said to the Lord, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The Lord is clear. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through him. When you think of Islam, what do you think of? Do you think of it as a separate language or a separate religion? Likewise, with Judaism. In this audience at AFR, you probably know more about the Jewish faith than I do. We know the crossover. We know that Jesus himself was Jewish. We also know that Peter left, effectively, the Jewish faith, some would say. Others would say, no, he stuck with it. The Messiah came, the Lord Jesus came, and then grafted us Gentiles, onto the vine. Others would say, oh, he left the Jewish faith. Either way, there is some commonality, but there is a parting point. Judaism and Christianity are no longer the same faith. We believe that the Lord Jesus was and is the Messiah, he who was to come and did come. Through him, we gain access to the Father, only through his blood. do we have a chance at eternal life, a free gift that cannot be earned, only accepted, loved. He left us the Holy Spirit to help us with these things, a special helper, to speak into us, to confront our flesh. Islam is not Christianity. Judaism is not Christianity. Any of the polytheist faiths are not Christianity. Since it's in the news, obviously voodoo is not Christianity. It is a religion. Satanism is a religion. The Pope has me deeply concerned. The Pope disagrees with Jesus, who said he alone is the truth, the way, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but through him.
Because every religion is a way to arrive at God.
Sono, dirò una comparazione, sono come diverse lingue, diverse idiomi per arrivare lì.
Sort of a comparison, an example would be they're sort of like different languages in order to arrive at God.
Ma Dio è Dio per tutti.
But God is God for all.
E come Dio è Dio per tutti, noi siamo tutti figli di Dio.
And if God is God for all, then we're all sons and daughters of God.
Ma il mio Dio è più importante del tuo.
But my God is more important than your God.
È vero quello?
Is that true?
C'è un solo Dio lì. E noi sono idiomi, cammino, lingue per arrivare a Dio.
There's only one God and each of us is a language, so to speak, in order to arrive at God.
Qualcuno schi, qualcuno musulmano, qualcuno indi, qualcuno cristiano, ma sono diversi cammini.
They're different paths.
No, there's not. No, there's not. There's one path. Incidentally, the Lord Jesus said we needed to be born again in water to enter the kingdom of heaven, to become children of God by being born again. I understand that people debate that in the Christian faith. It's my view of it. What is not my view, but is the unchangeable, unchanging, unimpeachable, impossible to misunderstand words of the Lord Jesus are, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through Him. That cannot be twisted to mean any other thing then it's exclusive. Languages are beautiful. Religions are not languages. They're sets of beliefs. They're promises or they're lies. They're one or the other. Your religion is either lying to you or it's making promises to you, promises it can keep. The Old Testament made promises about what the Messiah would do, from which bloodline he would come, when and where he would be born, acts he would undertake, things that would be done to him. The Lord Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies, which you can also look at as promises, including overcoming death itself, just as he said he would 3 days later. The apostles who had hid themselves, Peter even denying the Lord Jesus, just as the Lord Jesus told him he would do 3 times, Peter denied he knew the Lord. And suddenly, Peter and the other apostles walked up to a rooftop, no doubt in the presence of some of the very soldiers who killed Jesus or his body for 3 days. No doubt in sight of and in hearing of the Pharisees, the religious technocrats of the time, bureaucrats, who had engineered the taking down of the Lord Jesus, the death of his body for 3 days. And suddenly that scared Peter, who had denied the Lord, gave his first public sermon, proclaiming that this Jesus whom you killed was and is the Messiah, the risen one. That was keeping a promise. The Lord Jesus said he would make Peter a fisher of men. It wasn't a profession absent danger, being a fisherman. We've read many times in the Bible about how violent that sea could become. Think of the Apostle Paul, shipwrecked twice. So Peter and the other apostles became fishers of men. Jesus promised them the world would hate them, and it did. They would be killed, and they were, everyone save John. Jesus kept his promises. What are the promises kept by Islam? Well, it's hard to tell, since the book on which Islam is based is filled with so many inaccuracies, up to and including their description of Jesus and the time frame in which he operated. It's hard to find a single promise that you could say is true. The faith structure is completely different. Is that a gift? Something you get through service to a warrior king, Muhammad, a warrior king, who forced people to convert. It's simply a different faith. It's not a different language. It's a separate set of ideas. It is okay to force people to convert at the tip of the sword. If they won't, it's okay to force them to pay a tax and to live as second-class citizens. There's nothing like that in the Christian faith, not in the Bible. Judaism is different. It, of course, is the starting of Christianity, the starting point. We simply depart on who is the Messiah. And, of course, the Lord. God tells us about his very special covenant with the Jewish people. So in that way, Christians and Jews are tied at the hip. In that way, God has professed a very special promise, a covenant to them. For the Pope to say these things, and this is a legitimate question for Catholic people, and I promise you I will have this conversation with my brother Matthew, who brought me to the Lord. He's already left St. James, which is his choice, his church of choice, for 3 decades, 7 kids, all went to St. James, all went through baptism, confirmation, everything there. He recently took his family out of that church because of this Pope to go enjoy the Latin Mass. He's that much of a traditional Catholic. Now, he's a very gifted intellectual man. God has gifted him so profoundly that he's one of the guys who picks up the Latin Mass and understands it. He's just that gifted. God just gifted him that way intellectually. His youngest son said, I like this Latin Mass. The language is prettier. He's already made that decision to leave his church of choice for a church that is not responding this way to the Pope, not embracing this. My question for Catholic listeners, please tell me what I'm getting wrong. I beg you to tell me what I'm getting wrong. Perhaps it's the context. You can go to my podcast page. It's thetoddhermanshow.com. There's an email form there. You can fill that out and that'll get to me. Love that. I'll be doing a YouTube video about this, youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. But what are you teaching your family about this Pope? Would it be wrong for me to say that's a false teaching? I don't think so. I hate to say it, but in that case, that's the Pope issuing forth a false teaching. So why is he doing this? Well, the cynic in me would say he's been spiritually captured. We should pray for him. We should pray for him anyway. We should pray for church leadership, of course. We need to do that. Maybe it's his desire to bring people together. The great modern desire to bring people together by agreeing with whatever your neighbor says. You know, the new form of tolerance. tolerance in a biblical age meant that you put up with the fact that there were people living among you who did not share your beliefs, your customs, or the things dear to you. You put up with their existence. You didn't seek to kill them or harm them. You simply put up with the fact that they're there. Tolerance these days means you tell people, I see that's your truth. Your truth is true for you. If you are a man and you want to pretend to be a woman, the only way for me to love you is the new tolerance where I say, yeah, you're a woman. Even if you don't believe it, you say it. Is that what the Pope is doing here? An attempt to bring people together? Under what? By this you will know, people will know you are my disciples, how you love one another. Is it loving the other to tell someone who's on a path to hell, following Islam or any of the polytheist faiths? Is it loving someone who's on a path to hell to say, you are on the path to God? Would it be different if the Pope said, Satanism is just a way to God? Voodoo? I pray for him. I'd love to get feedback from Catholic listeners. I know you love the Lord Jesus. We'll come back with more on the assassination and the Tower of Babel. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Thanks for listening to AFR. Thanks for being a monthly supporter. You allow us to do segments like that where we take news and put God really in the center of it. And being a monthly supporter gives us predictable revenues so that the leadership here can invest in making sure that AFR continues to stand, just as it did. We're going to tell you about a new documentary tomorrow celebrating, I think it's fair to call Brother Don the first culture warrior. I do. Having seen this, I can't say much about it yet. Start talking about tomorrow, but allows us to continue to do things like that, or the greater organization, American Family Association. So you can make a commit to a monthly donation at afr.net. The latest man to attempt to murder President Trump, to assassinate him. We talked in the first segment about a series of questions that any legitimate person has to ask about Ryan Wesley Ruth. Normally, I don't say shooters' names. I don't think this guy is doing it for attention. My sense of this is he is so much. He's the perfect description of a guy who absolutely had to be being tracked by the State Department, the CIA. Had to be. You don't get to traipse back and forth between America and Ukraine trying to hire soldiers for Ukraine. And either not have permission of the government to do that, or to be being tracked by them. It's called being a mercenary. Man who never should have been within 100 miles, really, of President Trump without being noticed. So many questions. This is Ryan Wesley Ruth from a 2022 interview with Newsweek Romania.
56, from the U.S., from North Carolina originally. So I live in Hawaii now, so flew all the way from Hawaii here. So the question as far as why I'm here, to me, you know, a lot of the other conflicts are gray, but this conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. This is a storybook, you know, any movie we've ever watched, this is definitely evil against good. I mean, we're battling a situation here where, you know, the Ukrainians and the rest of the world are caring and kind and generous and unselfish and take care of one another, and it's just a matter of, you know, we need to stand up for that. That is the most important thing in the world, is just to show human beings that we're kind and we're caring and that we take care of one another and that the world is united so that we feed each other and make sure that, you know, we all move forward as one collective whole unit. So, you know, we feel the pain of one country's failure and their conflicts, and we enjoy the successes of other countries that are doing good, and we all work together. And for some reason, Russia does not grasp this concept that we're we're all one unit, and we have to get along and work together and be normal human beings. This is 2022. We have to work together. It seems asinine that we have a leader in a country that does not understand the concept of being unselfish and being generous and being kind and just the basic moral values that are required by human beings these days.
The basic moral values, says a man who's now accused of trying to assassinate President Trump. With that mindset and that slavish belief that Ukraine is a country devoid of any form of corruption, that their almost literal light to Russia's almost literal darkness, would it be that hard for Ukrainian actors to animate a guy like that to go try to assassinate Trump? Why would they want Trump assassinated? Because he has said he's going to turn the money spigot off. There's been something grossly incoherent about our Ukrainian policy for this entire investment period during this war, that Ukraine is the most important ally we've ever had. Why? Tell us why. By some estimations, Ukraine is just a CIA-run government. We've put a government next door to Vladimir Putin that's run by our CIA. After all, we did encourage a coup there. Maybe that's why it's so important. They can't tell us that we run it because it would make it a 51st state, which we're treating it as. The amount of money you've been forced to pour into Ukraine would be like Florida had been captured by, I don't know, China. The money we would pour to get Florida back or Texas back. It's very much like that. More money than we give to our entire Marine Corps. On the topic of the assassination, there's a guy named Casey Weinstein. He's a state rep for Ohio 34 and a candidate for state Senate 28. He's an Air Force Academy graduate, Falcon, Ohio State Buckeye, father of three. And right after the latest assassination attempt to President Trump, this man posted, JD has reached the find out stage. So, you know the phrase I will not say on AFR or anywhere else. Blank around. And JD, probably being JD Vance, has reached the find out stage. Oh, he deleted the tweet, by the way. Wonder why he deleted the tweet. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like him on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babel.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, almost always three sound bites. All these feature the strong hand, the brilliant, rock solid leadership of the woman who would lead us into war, God forbid, if we had to go to war, Kamala Harris, and her rock solid set of beliefs, clear plans for the United States of America, detailed down to time frames. No, it's just Kamala Harris. So Kamala Harris got off to a decent start in her local television interview by pretending to be about new ideas. It got far worse after this.
My approach is about new ideas, new policies that are directed at the current moment. And also, to be very honest with you, my focus is very much on what we need to do over the next 10, 20 years to catch up to the 21st century around, again, capacity, but also challenges.
Wow, that's really inspiring, to catch up with the 21st century around capacity, but also challenges. I am inspired. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Kamala Harris was asked to answer a very simple question about her detailed, well-studied plan to lower prices in America. Here is her answer.
Talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people. What are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people.
Quite a plan. Oh, no, she doesn't get into the plan. She keeps talking about, and then I was born. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. The same local reporter asked Kamala Harris about the appeal President Trump holds to voters. Kamala Harris spoke some words that add up to a finger painting.
What do you understand his appeal to be? And how do you speak to his voters? Or maybe people who just share his values but are open to something else?
Based on experience and a lived experience, no. In my heart, I know, in my soul, I know that the vast majority of us as Americans have so much more in common than what separates us.
What? Somewhere or other, that answered the question. Well, actually, nowhere or other did it. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Citizen journalists continue to do the work around learning more about Wesley Ryan Ruth. It appears that in 2002, he was charged with a Class C or Class F felony for having been caught with weapons of mass destruction. 74 arrests, one of them apparently for having weapons of mass destruction. But he wasn't being tracked by the CIA or the FBI. Oh, wow. You know, God is so good. He laughs at the plans of schemers and mockers. Thank you, Lord. Got an email as we wrapped up the week last week from a gentleman. I guess I'd been reminiscing about talk radio. Did I do that? Sometimes I do that. Remembering this fun, unique career that I know what it was. I was just talking about the uniqueness of this job. That it's not more important than anyone else's job. It's a job. I'm very privileged to do it. I consider it a great honor to sit in, particularly this day part, given that Brother Don used to have this day part. I consider it an incredible honor. And the bishop before me, I forget him. Great, great host, great man. So I consider it a particular honor. But yes, I did. I mentioned that, hey, one day I'll tell you a talk radio story as we wrap up the program. It's been a heavy show today. This is kind of a heavy story, but it really goes to the power of talk radio. So when I worked in Spokane on a tiny little station that my dear friend Tom Cock let me work at, and we did a trade deal, I got to keep 65% of ad revenue I brought in. He got to keep 65% that he brought in to my show. I got 35, he got 65, and we traded. And that was how I got my start in being a talk radio host on this tiny little station with 1,000 watts. And I did some things to get attention to the show and things I wouldn't do today, but it worked. This is before I was discipled. I recognized God, but wasn't following. And it came to pass that in Spokane, there was a terrible thing that happened. A police officer arrested a teen suspect. I believe she was 16. And he took her into jail, into a holding cell. And it was his words that he'd tried to find her parents and couldn't. And ultimately drove her home. That drive, via a map, would have taken 20 minutes. It took 2 hours. Somewhere along the way, he pulled over and she was in the back seat, you know, in detention, and they had sexual relations. She later complained that he had raped her. And the case drew controversy because there was the, oh no, she later complained that she felt forced into it. She didn't say it was rape, but felt forced into it. Didn't call it rape. Let me be clear. Didn't call it rape, but felt forced into it. Pressured into it. Not rape, but pressured into it. And the prosecuting attorney at the time, who was in the midst of a re-election campaign in a city that was very, very pro-cop, had said, I wish I could bring charges, but I can't because statutory rape doesn't apply. She's past the age of consent. So she felt pressured, but didn't say it was assault, wasn't forced, just felt pressured. I can't do anything. I went to the Gonzaga Law Library. And before there was the internet, you couldn't go just look these things up. I went to the Gonzaga Law Library and found out that there was an addendum to that statement. That's true, the age of consent, unless the adult is in a position of authority or control over the minor. Well, you don't get more authoritative and in control than having someone in handcuffs. So I called the prosecuting attorney and he agreed to come on to my show. And we waited a full hour. And they kept coming on saying, I'm sorry, Todd, he's in a meeting. I know he agreed to join you. That's okay, I'll hold. And we talked through the entire case for an hour, waiting on hold. And she kept coming back saying, I'm so sorry, Todd, we'll have to reschedule. No, that's fine, I'll hold. And at the top of the hour, when they knew my show was ending, the prosecutor came on and said, I am so sorry, Todd. I know your show is ending. I said, no, we've made the decision to extend the show. Thanks for coming on. He was stunned and scared. And I said, here's the statute. He was in control of her. She was under arrest. Will you charge her? Ultimately, I browbeat him enough that he agreed to charge her. Then the officer called and threatened to kill me on live radio. Ultimately, our station was surrounded by good cops who said he's not coming anywhere near you. And that added to his time. The power of radio. That was secular, so-called. At AFR, everything's about God. People accidentally tune in and hear the word of God. God bless this network. Until the Lord gives us permission to speak again together, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.